ladies and gentlemen. It's a live show Friday night, Valentine's Day, 2/14/2020. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow and a crown that was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and to a low a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see that thou hurt not the oil and the wine." And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, or in the Greek, it is called chloros, a greenish clear green. And his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I just thought I'd put you in the proper mood. Here is the key to this thing. Lord Jesus tells us in Revelation, those are the revelations of Lord Jesus as told to John of Patmos. But then we also have the scenario where, just like we were talking about last night, I was telling you about professor of public health, or the doctor who's in charge of all public health in Hong Kong, which is a 25-30 million population city. And he said that probably 60-70% of the world's population would be infected with the coronavirus, and it couldn't be stopped. All right, now here we have Harvard professor sounds alarm, unlikely coronavirus pandemic. 40%-70% of the world could be infected this year. This story is dated today. Public health professor from Harvard, T.H. Chan School of Public Health, Mark Lipsitch, told the Wall Street Journal this week that it is likely we will see a global pandemic of the coronavirus, with up to 70% the people infected worldwide. What did I do the numbers on last night? 60%, 70%. Well, say it's only 4.2 billion, you know, get the disease, all right? And then out of that, they say, of course, it's 1% or 2% death rate. That's if you've got, you know, like the top-of-the-line medical care from a university research hospital in a big city, all right? Or Mayo Clinic, or, you know, something like that, a big-time hospital. But if you don't have that, oh, then 15% die. Oh, and that's kind of only the official rate over there. But actually, when they released the regular numbers, real numbers out of China, mistakenly, probably, that some people did the math and found out it was closer to a 42.5% kill ratio. So if you have even 15% or 40% or whatever, and you got 4.2 billion or 5 billion people with this disease, it is not what they call an optimum situation. Oh, it requires more study. But now, here you go. That's another one. And then what else do we have? We have what? Oh, now the CDC director. All right. Robert Redfield, director of the CDC. Incidentally, Redfield is now starting to sound like what we were talking about, you know, 2-3 weeks ago. He says the extremely virulent coronavirus, which is sweeping through China's Hubei province like wildfire, will eventually gain a foothold in the United States, becoming a quote-unquote community virus this year or next, according to CDC Director Robert Redfield. So, in other words, it's going to be a community virus. Oh, it's going to be so loving and nice. It's one of your little communities. It's going to be a nice virus. No, that means it's going to become widespread in the community. And then he says, we don't know a lot about this virus. Oh, yes, you do. Because the WHO, you guys have already done all of the genetic splits and the recombinations, and you've read the original stuff where it originally was disclosed to the WHO and other people, and you know, it's, this thing is not new. But anyway, Redfield, Dr. Robert Redfield, which Centers for Disease Creation, question mark, we don't know a lot about this virus, Redfield told CNN's Dr. Sanjay Gupta. This virus, here's what he does say. This virus is probably with us beyond this season, beyond this year, and I think eventually the virus will find a foothold and we will get community-based transmission. Right now, we're in aggressive containment mode. Oh, are you? But your tests, Mr. Redfield, your tests do not work. So then you also are not following the other information that says Dr. Robert Redfield or the Centers for Disease Creation or whatever your name is. What if the incubation period lasts up to 24 days? But then you go on to say here with old Sanjay, okay, Redfield says that while more research is needed, the CDC is focused on containment strategies to isolate and slow the progression of the novel virus, buying time to develop a vaccine and antiviral drugs. Well, why don't you start dosing people with colloidal silver and recommend that? Why don't you recommend the things that you're already using in China? There's one that apparently is an AIDS drug that's allegedly derived from licorice root, allegedly, that has shown great success against coronaviruses. Now, the problem is there are side effects of all these things you take, because one of the things is they're trying to get it. There's something called the cytokine, C-Y-T-O-K-I-N-E, cytokine storm, and it's basically where your body recognizes everything as being foreign and tries to attack it. So it's a it's not an immune deficiency, it's an autoimmune disorder where your body is turned on autoimmune and attacks everything. And that's why a lot of people in those scenarios eventually go down the line, end up as blood coming out of every orifice. So here's what he says. The containment phase is really to give us more time. This virus, once again, will become a community virus at some point in time this year or next. In other words, it's going to be in your town, all right? We don't have any evidence that this coronavirus is really embedded in the community at this time. Well, you're certainly embedding it, aren't you, when you give phony tests, and then somebody takes the test, and then in San Diego, they're released, and then you say, oh, holy shimoli, then they get the symptoms, you see? Or when, instead of keeping people 24 days, you've got the ones who came back on a 14-day quarantine period. They're not showing symptoms or so whatever, and you said the tests were negative. But if the tests are faulty, then why don't you keep another 10 days to see if in 24 days they develop? And now they're talking about, you know, containment strategy refers to efforts to prevent widespread transmission of the coronavirus in the United States, including people with confirmed cases stay in isolation and placing restrictions on travel between affected areas in the world. Such containment measures were used widely during SARS global outbreak of 2003, during which 8,098 people worldwide became sick, and of those, 774 died, according to the CDC. Yeah, but the fact of the matter is, Doc Redfield, is that this stuff, this coronavirus is a bioweapon that was tweaked in Wuhan, probably by the Red Chinese. It's got a contingency or a certain percentage of component of HIV. And this disease is much easier to catch than SARS was. You say you don't know and you don't have any antivirals. Well, what about the antiviral called Mezzosilver that was used, a high-quality, small particle size, colloidal silver, true colloidal silver, made by an FDA-inspected, made by Purist Colloids out of New Jersey, Frank Keyes. Frank Keyes was taking orders from Hong Kong during the height of the SARS outbreak there, and was sending pallet after pallet of 5-gallon carboys filled with meso silver, this high quality colloidal silver, which then helped apparently because he kept sending it, and then people came after that from Red China wanted to buy his company that made that meso silver. Because they said, the attorneys that came to buy it said, that in Hong Kong they used it to kill the SARS. But instead you want a big pharma thing that will cause all kind of other potential side effects when colloidal silver does kill viruses, does kill bacteria. But it kills them in such a way that nothing can be built up. And when you have tiny particles of pure silver and deionized water, there's nothing that gives you any kind of side effect. But see, Luciferians on this planet want to reduce the population of this planet. Their goal or target is 500 million people. Thomas Malthus, who was an agent hired by the Bank of England and the British Crown years ago, one of the founders of modern economics, Thomas Malthus, stated that the system of planet Earth can only handle 500 million people in a sustained efficiency. So, ladies and gentlemen, this, you see, is the number that happens to be on the Georgia Guidestones. The Georgia Guidestones say, population planet Earth, no more than 500 million in perpetual harmony, blah, 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 blah. The Georgia Guidestones are put up by a mysterious person. Read about them. If you don't know about them, you're young, you haven't heard of Georgia Guidestones, or if you're old and haven't heard about them, then read up on it. Read what they say, and you'll be quite amazed. Well, if 500 million people is their target for planet Earth, then what does that tell you? That tells you 6.5 billion must die for the Lucy idea of what the ideal goal of this planet would be. I read this to you the other night. I'm going to read it again for emphasis. Prince Philip, that's the husband of Queen, okay? Of the Queen, the British Queen, Elizabeth. He says, in the event that I am reincarnated, I would like to return as a deadly virus in order to contribute something to solve overpopulation. Prince Philip reported on this speech, reported by Deutsche Press, Agentur, August 1988. Prior to that, in 86, he says, I must confess that I'm tempted to ask for reincarnation as a particularly deadly virus. And that's in the foreword to a book, If I Were an Animal. Prince Philip in his foreword to If I Were an Animal, United Kingdom, Robin Clark Limited, 1986. Then here's Prince Philip again, His Royal Highness. I don't claim to have any special interest in natural history, but as a boy, I was made aware of the annual fluctuations in the number of game animals and the need to adjust the cull, C-U-L-L, cull, to the size of the surplus population. Prefaced to Down to Earth by His Royal Highness Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh, 1988, page 8. And let's put it right here also. This was George Herbert Walker Bush addressing the General Assembly of the United Nations, February 1, 1992. It is the sacred principles enshrined in the United Nations Charter to which the American people will henceforth pledge their allegiance. Or let's just go back on another one here. This is Ted Turner. Oh, my, doesn't he have that big ranch up in Montana? Gajillion acre ranch where he's got buffalo and cattle and stuff on it. Here's what Ted Turner said in an interview with Audubon Magazine. A total world population of 250 to 300 million people, a 95% decline from present levels would be ideal. Well, there's your Ted Turner, founder of CNN and all that, at TBS, all of that. 250, 300 million. He thought that would be ideal. Well, what I always say to these people, well, why don't you just go ahead and start it off, you know? Why don't you go ahead and show the way to other people, you know? Show us the way there, Ted. Show us the way there, Prince Philip. Show us the way, you guys. You know, get you know, jump in that volcano first, you know? Like the commercial they got on TV where you jump into the volcano so that it'll grow, you know, the rain will come, you know? Well, why don't these guys be the first? So then the WHO... And, you know, back in 2009, I believe it was, when I did a show an hour, and Steve did an hour, and then Brother John up there in the Flathead of Montana, who had the radio station, had an international symposium that he had up there. He brought a lot of speakers in to the little spot there by the radio station and all that, and they had it all set up. And then I did an hour. It was on this loudspeaker. Steve Quayle did an hour at another time of the day. And it was just an attempt to try to wake up awareness to the fact back then that they were talking about the combination of a swine flu and a bird flu that would then create a hemorrhagic flu. I think I've told you before that talking years ago to Dr. Garth Nicholson, who used to be head of MD Anderson Cancer Research Center in Texas, before W. Bush had him removed when he was governor, and he had him taken out and removed from his office by the Texas Rangers because Dr. Garth Nicholson and his wife, they had a daughter that was a helicopter pilot who flew special ops, SEAL 6, other SEAL teams, other Delta, Rangers, all kind of different people on up in there to kill Saddam Hussein's scuds and to go into warehouses and blow them and that kind of stuff. And you remember the Gulf War illness, the Gulf War sickness? She came home with it, gave it transmissibility to Dr. Garth Nicholson and his wife and also the dog. Now, Dr. Nicholson went into research into media because he was in the top 10 or 20, he and his wife, microbiologists and mycologists in the world. And they found, and Nicholson told me that that this thing had about a 40% structure of it was part of the AIDS virus or the HIV viral structure. And he said it was the part, this is of Gulf War illness, he said it was the part that coaxes or tells the good cells, oh, let us in, we're so nice, come in, we'll have a party with you, we're going to treat you right. Then the cell lets in the virus, kaboom, it kills it. So you can research all of that, go back and look at Dr. Garth Nicholson and his wife, and they basically found a way, and they started using, in some cases it worked, in some cases, according back then, I'm not a doctor, I can't tell you what to take or anything, but they had doxycycline that was used, doxycycline was used in some cases to help the people who had the Gulf War illness. Now, I also know and talked with him and heard him speak, and he said that in some cases, not all, in some cases he found transmissible, quote-unquote, transmissible cancers. Well, then that harkens back to the research done years and years ago, okay, by the top doctors in the United States at Tulane University, where they were working with the monkey population and looking to do different things, and they were trying and experimenting on them. And they were also taking cancer and hitting it with the nuclear blast, with a nuclear shot, okay? Kaboom, like through forget the machine they used. But if you want to look all about that, you can look up Mary's Monkey, a book about Mary's Monkey, about Mary, who was the woman doctor who also found back then that in the Salk vaccine that the simian virus 40 was something that caused a high rate of cancer, and that was in the original Salk vaccines that millions of people got worldwide. I wonder where the cancer epidemic came from. I don't know. Is it possible that it was related to that? It certainly is possible. It might be axiomatic, but with no guaranteed proof. It's alleged, allegedly. So here you go. We're back in another deal. SARS global outbreak 2003. Then you had the swine flu. And then if you recall, in that thing in 2008 or 9, I believe, I think it was 9, you remember that there was some people that were dealing with the World Health Organization, and certain vaccine companies and stuff were playing around with recombinations. You remember that? Well, I would point out that there's a firm out in California right now, a couple days ago, said that in 3 or 4 days, they already had basically created for this coronavirus, let's just call it coronavirus instead of COVID-19, COVID-19, hut, 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 tension, COVID-19. The reason they want to say that is because we're talking about corona. Crown. You see, that's the cleverness of a Prince Philip, perhaps, or a Queenie and the Crown and the Rothschilds and the Bank of England and all the MI6 and 5 and, you know, 43, hut, you know, or shall I say 23, you know, or 20, the SAS boys, and maybe they got sent, or maybe it was the CIA, you know, sending some people from the Briar Patch, you know, the Tar Patch babies, sending some of them over to release it over there. There's been a lot of discussion about the 2005 white paper that the Red Chinese put out, how they were going to fight us. Well, that's true. They were and are and still are willing to go. So there has been covert warfare between now and then. I knew as back as far as in the early to mid-90s, when there were goals stated in Red China, that there would be increased food for the population, increased proteins and eggs. And I remember Chuck Harder saying that if you added one more egg a week to the diet of the Red Chinese, then that would require almost all the eggs of the United States at that time. Or if you added another pound of wheat or something like that, whatever it was, that would require most of the grain of the United States. Now, if you're going to have a population over there right now where food is hard to come by and nobody can work and, you know, all these different things, they're running into trading desks and spraying people with a, you know, spray from a backpack, a guy in the goggles and the spacesuit. And none of this stuff adds up because it's all non sequitur to what we have been accustomed. It is all like goofy, bizarro world stuff. And it causes what? Well, we used to call it, when you go up to the Dairy Queen, we called it brain freeze. You'd eat one of them slush things they had, and you drink it too quick, and you'd get brain freeze right in the middle of your head, wouldn't you? Or cognitive dissonance. Or those in the cognoscente, those who know. And the cognitive dissonance is you get all these conflicting stuff, or you get too much overwhelm of all kind of things coming in on top of you, that you say, oh, brain freeze, screw it, I can't figure any of this out. I'm just going to go over here. I'm going to go shopping. I'm going to go have a drink. I'm going to go do this. Or, you know, I'm going to blow marijuana. I'm going to do this, blah, 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 blah. Okay? I'm just going to zone out, watch TV, you know? Pop the Netflix on, do this or that or the other. Well, let me tell you, you can take it one step at a time and learn this stuff, and I'm going to tell you what the answer is. You know what the answer is? Repent of your sins to Lord Jesus and ask him to come into your heart to be your Savior. And he will give you everlasting life with him in heaven. And he'll start to wash you clean, because there's power in the blood of Jesus. That's the first step and the biggest major step. And then the other thing is, prepare, don't panic. I said to you the other night, keep practicing a methodical prepping using lists that are updated with the current threat matrix, so that you can adjust your needs on a weekly, daily, or hourly basis. I suggested there's good places for lists like Hollydeo's Dare to Prepare. And that's D-E-Y-O, Deo. Holly Drennan Deo. You can go up to standeo.com. You can look for that. Or I also suggested to you, No Such Thing as Doomsday, How to Prepare for Natural Disasters, Terrorism, War, and Other Threats by Philip L. Hoag, H-O-A-G, with Arlene R. Hoag. That is an excellent book if you can still find it. And I will say this, there are other places that have lists. Nitro-Pack used to have good lists. Ready Made Resources probably has a list. They're good people out of Tennessee, very excellent people. I always recall back in the day getting level 4, brand new level 4. They were surplus, but they hadn't been used. Level 4 vests. A tremendous vest at a good price, and they came right out of the Croatia, Serbian, you know, that kind of conflict. Made in Germany. I was blessed to get those. You couldn't touch them for 3 times the price now of what back then they were going for. Anyway, that'll give you an idea of what they might have cost back then. But ready-made resources. There's other places you can get lists. And then I would urge you to try different places to get food. People are saying, well, August and Farms is out and Walmart doesn't have it and this one and that one. Look other places. Look for other places. You can also go usually and find some of the Mountain House, quite a bit of it as a matter of fact, at places like Cabela's. Bass Pro, Gander Mountain. I don't know if Academy's got it, but those kind of places have that kind of stuff in their camping section. You can pick some up there. You can also go online at mountainhouse.com or different other places to go, nitro-pack.com or whatever it is. I believe that's what it is. And they still have food, whereas other food preparedness people are running way behind. You can call some of these others and see if they've got it. And their price maybe is good or even better in some cases. I would also urge you to look into and do search engine. Notice I didn't say the G word or anything. Do a search engine on Yoder's, you know, beef chunks, Yoder's bacon, Yoder's chicken chunks, Yoder's pork chunks, Yoder's turkey chunks. These are cans of meat that are exceptionally good quality. They also have hamburger, too. They have hamburger patties that will last, you know, 15 to 20 years in the can. And they also say that, you know, if the can is not busted, all right, we guarantee it for this long. But if it's not broken, not puffed up, not got any problems, when you open it, you don't find the smell or the bad look in there, you know, whatever, then it's probably still okay. All of the regular canned goods at the grocery store, and try not to get the ones that have the pop tops on them. Get the ones that are regular canned. Back during the millennium, you know, the 1999-2000 bit, where the computers were going to throw up all the stuff and screw it all up, which almost did, and had they not have spent $50-60 billion to remediate all that crap, we'd have had a lot more problems back then. But that particular time, I checked into it, and I knew people who worked for a large canning company who were, let's say, in the marketing end of it, to restaurants and that kind of stuff, a manufacturer's rep, if you want, a cannery rep. So I asked them what the date was on the cans. They said, that is the date that we can guarantee that there's 100% of the recommended daily requirements, you know, the nutritional information on the side of the can, that we can guarantee that the nutritional information will be the same as stated on the can for that length of period. Do they last longer? Can you still eat it? Yeah, if it tastes good, the can has not busted or ballooned out or been cut or broken or is leaking, then probably you can get that can, open it, and have, although maybe a little taste difference than it was, You can still get some food value out of that stuff in the can. Yes, you should rotate them. But I'm going to tell you what, they've even found, you know, cans and stuff from the bird expeditions to the Arctic and the Antarctic where people found them on dog sleds and stuff years later. They open up, they're perfectly good. Maybe not the best taste like they were 100 years ago or 89 years ago or whatever, but it did have food value. So I'm going to tell you, that is the key. Methodical preparations. Now, one other thing I would say is this. When you have the CDC guy telling you that this is going to be in the community, a community virus at some point in time this year or next year, said the director Redfield of the CDC, and when you then also hear and see the orders from NORTHCOM, North American Command, which is the Battle of North America, the North American Continent Battle Groups of the U.S. military, when they give the orders to the Navy and the Marines, we saw those orders, it would be similar orders to the Air Force and the Army. When you see that, and they're telling you in those orders that they are preparing for what was the term they used? Intervention into communities. Now, what is the CDC guy talking about? It's going to become a community virus. So when they say, oh, we're going to get community-based transmission, and that the virus will find a foothold, and it will be with us beyond this season, beyond this year. And I think Redfield says, eventually the virus will find a foothold, and we will get community-based transmission. So when the NORTHCOM is accessing the same phraseology, intervention in communities, then that means what they're talking about is martial law. M-A-R-T-I-A-L, martial law. In China, they're going house to house. I told you last night, I did a little skit, didn't I? Ladies and gentlemen, this is NORTHCOM. Do not come out of your homes. If anyone is sick, put a white flag at the window, hang it out the window like a t-shirt or a bed sheet or something like that to let us know. We do not have food for you now. We will be back. Then, you know, a day later or whatever, boom, 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 boom. Come on out for wellness check. Well, who are you? Well, that doesn't make any difference. You come out for wellness check. We're the authority here. Come on out in the name of the North American Command. Well, you have guns pointed at me. I'm not coming out there. What are you going to do? Shoot me. If you do not come out now, we will blow this door up and drag you out. Well, okay. You want to get crusty? Well, then have at it. Kaboom, kaboom. And then there goes the door off the hinges and then go rushing in the troopers. And then they shoot the guy. Pop, pop. Two in the head. You're dead, baby. And then they say, round up his wife and kids, put them on the other trucks, put him on the dead man's truck, and let's go through his house and see what he's got. Oh, boy, look at this gold and silver. Oh, bust that safe. Ooh, in the safe there, he's got gold and silver coins. Ooh, look over there. Look at these firearms. Look at his ammunition. Ooh, boy, this will be good. Oh, look at all this food. Oh, look at all this stuff. And you know, the guy had a wine collection, or he had bottles of liquor or moonshine or whatever it is he had. It's like the Canadian general said, who was overheard by somebody I know, heard him talking. These stupid Americans, and we come to the door, and we tell them to get out and to come out to the trucks to move to the quarantine site or the special handling site. If they give us any trouble or anybody gives anybody in trouble, they're going to shoot them in the head dead and then take their families from them and all their goods and their homes. And then they'll reassign the homes, just like the Croats and the Serbs and all those guys did in that region. The good homes went to the best high-level military people. And this is where we're at. I tied that in last night for you, if you didn't hear it, into Obama's executive order, where he creates the establishment of the Council of Governors. There is an established Council of Governors. The council shall consist of 10 state governors appointed by the presidential, by the president. And then no more than 5 shall be of any same political party. That's all the bull crap. They don't give a shit about that. Then the term of service for each will be 2 years or longer if need be. And then they're going to report to who? Department of Defense, not the FEMA, Department of Defense. They change this to where the military's in charge, and that means NORTHCOM, North American Command, which also has at its disposal the military troops of the United States of the various services, but also it has National Guards, and depending on the governor, perhaps will able to call some state guards, but, or utilize them, but it also has foreign troop components that are here in training, you see. Like training up at Fort Drum in New York, for all you good folks up there, and I do hear of a lot of people up in that region. God bless you all up in the Buffalo and all up in there, and, then other people out in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and all through that East Coast area from there on up into New England. All right? And the Maine Maniacs, hello to you and all those Maine Maniacs who now maybe live in Massachusetts. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, when you hear that, and then you hear Dr. Gabriel Leung of Hong Kong say 60 to 70% of the world population could catch this disease. Then the Harvard guy comes out today and says perhaps 70 to 80% of the population. Whatever he said, let's see what, you know, I just read it to you, but let's just go back to it. Let me get it again here. Here it is right here. Let's see. Oh, maybe I clicked that off. Anyway, 60, 70s, 80%. That's what they're talking about. You know, that's the whole idea upon it. Harvard professor, here it is. Mark Lipsitch of the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health told the Wall Street Journal this week it will likely see a global pandemic of the coronavirus with up to 70% of the people infected worldwide. When you see all of that, and then you see the fact that NORTHCOM is talking about it, I gave you information that came out of Texas from several different places in Texas talking about the State Guard, okay, which is reports to the governor. They already had been alerted over a week ago or more that they might get called up. So they're on alert as of now. I mean, they're on alert. That doesn't mean they're in their gear and doing this. That means they have so many hours or whatever to report if they get called. And that their job would be, if they were called, they said, first of all, if they were called, it would be a national emergency, martial law, and it would be related to a pandemic in this case, and that their job would be, or they're being told would be, to contain hot zone areas. in a sense, quarantine, right? And then to transport people who have the disease to quarantine camps or medical facilities or holding camps or wherever they're going to take them. It seems as though they've already decided to take them to the military bases. But you see, if you get 70% or 60% of the world population gets this, do you understand that the life as we know it is, you know, it's Teotihuacan. The end of the world as we know it, all right? And so you had better prepare so that you can endure to the end like the Lord Jesus wants you to do. And that's why I told you the first prep is repent of your sins to Lord Jesus and ask him to come into your heart to be your Savior. And then I would tell you to go to John 14 like I always do and read that for emphasis because he tells you anything you ask in his name, he will do. Keep his commandments. And he also tells you that the things that he can do, that you can do also. Look that up. Pray about that and have him show that to you. You also could go in and look at the faith of the mustard seed. That when you tell the mountain to move, the mountain will move. What's that tell you about what the Lord Jesus and our Father in heaven have endowed to you if you believe on him? Oh, boy. All I can tell you is a lot of people listening to my voice right now, in your area, you're going to turn out to be the person that Lord Jesus has got you there for a certain reason to perform a service on his behalf. Now, you might say, well, Hawk, I'm not... No. You're going to be the lightning rod. You're going to be the spark plug. You might be the person that has helped people to organize and to create more gardens or food or canned or whatever, or to organize better living in the cave or in the basements or whatever you're doing. Because this ain't going to be the last thing. When you see this stuff start to go wild weasel worldwide, you're going to also see Nuki Dukes and hypersonic delivery vehicles and laser tag, and you're going to see all kinds of stuff, EMP. At the same time, it's the best of times and worst of times, isn't it? Pretty good economy, right, and all that stuff. But we let it roll for a while, maybe people would have some more savings, you see. But they ought to be telling people, instead of CDC saying it's now, they're telling you, hey, it's coming. But you'd better get whatever you can and prepare for it. But they say, oh, we're going to develop a vaccine. Maybe it'll be ready next year, maybe in a few months. The California people say they've got it right now, but they have to wait for the trials, etc. And meanwhile, I'll be back to that in a second. Ladies and gentlemen, you want to keep old Hawk on the line, and I hope you do. Any assistance is most needed and would be most welcome. Could be Federal Reserve notes. It could be silver dime, a silver dollar, an ounce of silver, a silver quarter, whatever it might be, or a piece of gold or whatever. Check or money order. Make it out to Hawk, H-A-W-K, 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356, Prairie Village, Kansas, 66208. Hawk, 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356, Prairie Village, Kansas, 66208. May the Lord return it to you 10,000-fold, ladies and gentlemen, and protect you against all evil. And I'll tell you what, another thing I would tell you, ladies and gentlemen, is that Brother Steve Quayle at stevequayle.com, that it would be a good time if you have all of your food preps and your water preps and your firearms and your medical supplies and your N95, N100s, your regular high-quality professional gas mask, military-type style gas mask with the extra filters. You got all of that. You got your, you know, boots, your, you know, your ponchos, your backpacks, your bug-out bags, your whole nine yards set. You got food for a year, two or three. Then you might want to get some gold and silver from Brother Steve Quayle. You can call him at 406-586-4840. 406-586-4840. You might get Tyler, his son. You might get Daryl, his manager. You might get Steve. And incidentally, let's say a prayer right now. Lord Jesus, we know Brother Quayle has just had the operation on his eyes. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would restore him to perfect muscle control, vision, and facial structure, and give him a medical miracle, Lord, today, right as we speak. In your name I pray, Lord Jesus. But anyway, Brother Quayle's books and his upcoming Gen 6 productions program that he's going to put on at Branson coming up this summer, you can go to Steve Quayle, Quayle.com. Click on that. Read all about that. Sign up for the tickets at a better deal, I think, a little bit right now. But if you do not understand all the stuff going on, get some of Steve's books, like the Genesis 6 Giants or the You Want to Know Weather Wars. Okay. You want to know about Empire Beneath the Ice and how a large component of all the stuff going on now in science and in the UFOs and in all that ultra-black world is tied to the Nazis. Or his book, Terminated, The End of Man is Here. This stuff is stuff that will help you to understand why and where we're at. And use that with the Bible, and you're going to be way ahead of being able to tell your children or grandchildren what's going on. Because people now will look at you like you're a nut, right? Well, anyway, Brother Quayle has got all kind of stuff up on his sites. Avail yourself of it while you still can. Get some gold and silver or platinum, and they will take good care of you. They've got it on the hoof, or it can come quickly. Have them, you know, send it to you quick while there is still time. And before they declare paper money to be no good, and before they knock the heck out of all the digital and then level the playing field, you see. But meantime, remember when I told you, ladies and gentlemen, I read to you out of the Terry Reid and John Cummings book, Compromise, Clinton, Bush, and the CIA, how the presidency was co-opted by the CIA. And it was Terry Reid, John Cummings, a spy, SPI book, and it was in 1994 copyright. You can still probably find that. And remember I talked about a man that was code word named, or a.k.a., Robert Johnson. You remember that? And in the book, it's in chapter 17. It's called The New Covenant. And here you had Terry Reid, who was the guy who trained the Contra pilots. And then he was working with John Cathay, a.k.a. Oliver North. And then there were people there like Felix Rodriguez, a.k.a. Max Gomez, and that there was resident CIA agent Akahide Sawahata. Terry Reid, he was an agency contractor, and the man in charge that was going to meet with Bill Clinton and his man Nash, Bob Nash, his aide. And they were in a World War II ammunition storage bunker near Little Rock in Arkansas, all with the Arkansas State cops overseeing all of it. And the man called himself Robert Johnson. And he came down to tie up the loose ends of the Clinton crime family and all the stuff, the boys on the tracks, all the murders, all the things going on. And he came to shut down Centaur Rose, Operation Centaur, C-E-N-T-A-U-R Rose, and Operation Jade Bridge. And Johnson, while Buddy Young stood outside to guard the bunker, they all sat down, and then Robert Johnson said, Governor Clinton, I'm glad you could attend tonight's meeting with us. We're both surprised and honored. Bobby Nash did inform us that you would be attending. However, let's get down to it. And then basically what Robert Johnson told was he was going to shut it all down there in Arkansas. Well, I told you that night who Robert Johnson was. William P. Barr, who was assistant attorney general back then. And he was basically CIA. And he was there to shut down and protect Poppy Bush, who ran as Black Rose, quote unquote, the Operation Centaur Rose, which was the triangle trade of dope, weapons, and money laundering in Arkansas, in Panama, Nicaragua, the whole nine yards, Florida, dumping in Florida, Arkansas, off the coast of Louisiana, in the swamp, in the bayou, off of Houston. And then he had his two sons back then, old Poppy did, didn't he? One was governor of Florida, the other governor of Texas, right? Well, let me tell you something. Don't go into their Luciferian night without a fight, because Barr is covering it up again. McCabe, who lied to the FBI about his own situation, is being let off the hook. So now you know that Barr is saying it's okay to lie to the FBI or any federal agent, right? You're going to get off like McCabe, right? Don't go into their Luciferian night without a fight. Mighty men and women of valor, use your high technology to strike blows against the Luciferians and those in the crowd and Illuminati who may have released fake world media, letting out the Wuhan China map. Bad Dinger Ranger, I know you're ready. An old Mikula Poo. You better get some hot coffee. Up on them optics and stay up on them, baby. It comes in the queen, your picky. Don't forget. May Lord Jesus protect you against all people. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. Prepare. Use the weekend to prepare. Get something to say. Help say it. Have it.